Well, welcome everybody to another edition of Last Christian. My name is J.D. Williams here in East Texas, and joining me from New York City by co-host Mr. David Paxton. How are things going today, David?
We're doing pretty good, pretty good. Just looking around the city for any doppelgangers.
Well, you got anybody walking around the city that looks like David Paxton? Talking to your friends, lying to them.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but if I did, I'd send them to work for me.
There you go.
And then just stay home and do something else.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to show you guys something here real quick. If you're watching us in visual form, this is a picture that my wife found. I believe she found this on Facebook, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, this is an AI representation of President Trump and Mr. Biden together. Like they are just like best buds. It looked like they're enjoying a Thanksgiving holiday together or something like that. And, AI, we've talked about this before, David, that AI is not exactly trustworthy, shall we say. I think there's a lot of danger involved in it, but, that's just me.
Yeah, I think it's a false name, number one, but I think I like the picture of them knitting together the best.
Yeah, I agree.
But as far as, artificial intelligence, I think that the main emphasis is it's artificial. Because it's not really intelligent at all. And I think too many people, including Christians, are like getting all scared about it. Oh, my God, it's going to do this. You're going to do that. You got to realize it's just a computer program.
Well, and it may be, but it scares me. It does, because.
Why?
I've seen some of this artificial intelligence that is moving. It's like real people in real conversation with each other. And you don't know whether or not the person is real or not. And, you might even be talking to somebody. You might even be talking to somebody on social media, and they're not even a real person. They're a computer.
That depends on if they're making fun of your Facebook post.
Oh, well, yeah.
In their face.
But anyway, I got some information on AI specifically about Christians and about the church. And I want to get that out there today for everybody to take a look at, because I think it's, this does worry me. And another reason.
Can I touch on that for a second?
Yeah, I just want to finish what I was saying. That is, this worries me in the context of Antichrist. That's where it worries me at. And with that said, go ahead. Whatever you had to add there.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going. I thought you had this big major thing.
I never have anything major.
Here's the deal with AI in a nutshell. And maybe we can make an AI picture of that too.
Okay.
And put AI in a nutshell. So it's artificial intelligence. It's literally just a computer program which makes everything go much, much faster. Mm-hmm. It's not a real entity. All right.
True.
It looks and acts. It's not sentient. Okay. Mm-hmm. What it could do is project an image maybe onto a screen. It can calculate things really fast. So if I ask it to make a picture, it'll literally look all over. It wouldn't be able to do this without the internet. It'll look all over the internet and take its time to find whatever picture you're asking for by the keywords that you type in and then do its best to create it. But I don't know if you've seen a lot of those pictures. They come out pretty crazy. Guy has three hands, or the kids are smoking while they're watching TV, all sorts of weird stuff.
Yeah,
because it doesn't have a heart.
Right.
But here's what's going to happen. The Antichrist, is going to use it to create an image. It says, you have to worship the image of the beast. And it's real clear that the Antichrist will come on board 3.5 years. He's going to be this dude who's bigger than his brethren. It actually says he's bigger than everybody else. So I think it probably might even be a Nephilim. But, Satan's like, I got to take this guy over. So let's have him killed, because that's what Jesus did. And since he's the pseudo Christ, he has to look like he raises from the dead. So he kills this guy off, and then he puts some kind of technology in him. It could be transhumanism, could be anything along these lines.
Yeah.
And then Satan actually inhabits that. Now, Satan can't really inhabit a robot, Mm-hmm. That's why he needs a person and just put robot parts in the person.
Yeah.
Okay. And he has to inhabit, a real living thing.
Right.
And I don't even think it's Satan himself, actually, but because Satan is an angel, he can manifest on his own without a person. I think this might be maybe Azazel or one of those guys from the Book of Enoch, because they are Nephilim. Well, no, Azazel was a fallen angel. So one of the Nephilim would have to do it because they're the ones that require a body. So there's a lot of nuances that go to it. But the point is, it's not going to be the Antichrist after 3.5 years. The man, it's going to be the image of that man.
Right.
He's going to come back to life. It's going to be some kind of miracle. Could be a hologram. Could be transhumanism. It could be, just like Max Headroom. All you see him on a computer.
Yeah.
But he looks really real. So there's a lot of different ways that can manifest, but it's not real. There has to be a sentient behind it who's directing it.
Oh, yeah.
It.
Yeah, AI. There's got to be. Yeah, there's got to be somebody pulling the trigger. I understand that. But
there's got to be a wizard behind that.
The thing
so don't
is,
be scared of it because we have dominion.
Just like today, in the world today, people are led by whatever they happen to listen to, whatever they happen to see on TV. They believe that, and... So I can only imagine, think about this for a second, and please, nobody get offended here. If you like President Biden, don't get offended. I'm just using this as an example. I personally have never seen Joe Biden, since he has been president, put two sentences together that make sense. Now, that's my personal view on it. So if I all of a sudden see President Biden standing up for a 1-hour conversation and he's giving a speech the way that President Trump did, stand in front of a crowd and he speaks there for an hour without a script, I'm going to know that's artificial intelligence. That's not really Joe Biden. I'm going to know that as a fact. But how many other people will?
Well, those are the ones. Now, the Bible says that, the mark will be on their hand or on their forehead.
On their forehead, right.
Okay. Now, that if it's got to be on the right hand too, because the right hand symbolizes the will, that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father,
right?
Which means it's the will of the Father, okay? And then the forehead would be your mind. Your mind is that these people choose to do that, and they're going to choose it anyway.
Yeah.
And if it was just the Stay Puff Marshmallow Man, they would choose to follow him because they don't want to follow God,
right?
They've denied God in their hearts. So.
That's the bottom line right there, is not follow God, as we know. They better, because time is short. Okay.
Right. But then, believe it or not, the greatest revival in the history of the world will be those people who missed the rapture and realized that we were telling them the truth.
Right.
And then it's going to be black and white after the rapture.
I have always hoped that our recordings will some way survive in some way, shape, or form to where people can go back and look at them, whether or not that's true.
Yeah, we'll get an apocalypse movie and they're like playing The Last Christian. Don't tell anybody.
All right. I am going to, because we are also a news show, I am a member of the U.S. Press Association. Got to include some news. So we're going to do this with the European Union. We'll talk about them pressuring Hungary, the nation of Hungary, and they want Hungary to continue to fund Ukraine in their ongoing conflict with Russia. Let's listen to this one.
The European Union may turn to economic pressure to get Hungary to approve a $55 billion aid package for Ukraine. The latest round of financing has been delayed by Budapest's unwillingness to approve such a sum for Kyiv over the next 4 years. Stuart Smith reports from Brussels.
While Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban said in January he thinks the European Union should help Ukraine, he believes the EU should only approve the aid budget 1 year at a time and only if the payment is kept separate from the EU budget. His position has put him at odds with the EU's 26 other member states, which are hoping to approve funding when leaders meet each other at the end of the week. On Monday, British media was shown a document drawn up by EU officials which lays out the weak spots in Hungary's economy, levers reportedly to be used by Brussels if Budapest doesn't play ball. A senior EU official acknowledged the document, but distanced the fact sheet from the official negotiating position of the EU. Stuart Smith, Brussels.
David, does that not sound like blackmail to you?
Yeah, it does. It's like, okay, who are you to tell me what to do with my money?
Yeah.
You know, how about you leave? But, you know, now they're going to do all their coercion and everything else. And I thought it was pronounced Kiev.
Kiev?
Yeah.
Let me see. There's two. Kiev is in the Ukraine, and Kiev, I think it is, it's in Russia. There's two of them. Okay.
See, I learned something today.
Well, actually, I got to teach you something for a change. You don't normally, it's the other way around. Will be joining us in the next show. That's David's show, which he just basically runs it. I just sit there and ask questions. And that's our ongoing discussion where we take the audience verse by verse. We've been in Genesis 1:1 for about 7 weeks, and we're moving on to Genesis 1:2, I think, right now. So that shows you just how in-depth we go. But what he uses is a lot of stuff that you've never heard of before. Picture graphs. I don't think anybody's got an original picture graph out there of a lot of stuff. Anyway, he uses a lot of stuff that you're never going to see anywhere else, but it's all 100% legit. It's a real Bible. The way it was initially presented. So we do invite you to do that. It's our midweek show every week on Last Christian. All right, moving on here, David. We're going to give a Middle East update real quick. So I'm going to listen to this. This is about Gaza, of course, and what's going on in that area. But let's listen to this.
Iran says it has nothing to do with an attack in northeast Jordan, which claimed the lives of 3 U.S. military personnel. The Islamic Resistance in Iraq has claimed responsibility for the attack, for which the U.S. has vowed to respond. Elsewhere in the Middle East, some progress appears to have been made in talks aimed at freeing the remaining Israeli hostages held by Hamas. Talks in Paris over the weekend brought together representatives from Israel, Qatar, Egypt, and the U.S. Sarah Coates reports from Tel Aviv.
These talks are centered around a number of phases. The first would see a pause in fighting inside Gaza for around 30 days. It would get the women, the injured, and those over 70 out. And it is during this phase that discussions on a potential second phase would take place. Now, it's also important to add that during this first phase, when these Israeli prisoners, Israeli captives are released, that a large number of Palestinian prisoners being held in Israeli jails would also be set free. Hamas has been demanding a total end, leaving it in power, which of course is something that is seen as a red line by Israel.
And the actual deal I've got right here, excuse me, it's 40 hostages for a 6-week ceasefire. Phase one of the Hamas deal is in negotiation. Hamas has said that they want to release elderly men above 60. They probably have one. And those in critical medical condition would be first hostages released. It says here that at the Paris summit that was held this past Sunday, that a consensus was reached on a 3-phase plan intended for presentation to Hamas. And under the plan, the first phase is 35 to 40 Israeli hostages, including women, elderly men above 60, and those in critical medical condition, to be released during that 6-week ceasefire. And it doesn't look like that the Palestinians have agreed or rejected this yet, but they're running a little bit scared, obviously, because things are closing in on them. But I don't know. Do you think this is a good deal to halt everything for 6 weeks?
No, you know what that's going to happen. I mean, exactly. It's the same old story.
Yeah.
You give them a little bit of rope and they're going to run around, try and go get more weapons and then kill you and then say, oh, look, we won. They're going to claim victory if you give them that. Oh, look at that. Look what we did. We got them to back off. We're so wonderful. And then start shooting at you again.
Yeah. I mean, it has always been.
How many times we got to see this?
It's always been that way. It has always been that way. The negotiations are always so one-sided. And people that don't understand, they need to think about this for a second. This is a fact. You can look it up. I present this as a member of the U.S. press. And that is that any kind of release, any kind of hostage exchange okay, Israel get back 35, 40 hostages, maybe over a 6-week period, and the Palestinians will get back all 350 to 600 militants who've already committed acts of terrorism against Israel. And when they get back, they're going to be given a lot of money, a lot of praise. They're going to be treated royally, and they'll go right back out and do it again. I mean, you know, that's history, right?
It's the way it's always been.
Okay, listen to this one. U.S., the United States, France, and Germany are against Israeli settlements. Once this is over, once everything is done, okay, the White House National Security Spokesman, Mr. John Kirby, said that the White House was deeply concerned at the resettling Gaza conference. Now, this he actually said this in Jerusalem, believe it or not, and that he expected Israel to reject the statements. I don't know why he would mention that, but he did. Anyway, Reuters cited the French foreign ministry spokesman as saying, "We expect from Israel authorities a clear denunciation of these positions." Okay, then why present it to them? Then next, in parallel, German ambassador to Israel, Stefan Siebert, said in a statement on X, formerly Twitter, "The German foreign ministry rejects all considerations about a possible Israeli resettlement of Gaza and about any form of transfer of the Palestinian population. They aggravate the current conflict and violate international law." Under what part of international law do they violate? If they go in, explain this one to me. We defeated England to become the United States of America. Mm-hmm. Was that a violation of international law? Or how about Texas? We defeated Mexico to become a republic before joining the United States of America. So is that a violation of international law? I don't get it, David. Where are they coming up with this new thing, violate international law, to the victor goes as spoils, right?
Yep. I mean, this whole world system we have now is just basically a set of corporations. They incorporate everything, all the governments, all the little hands of the government, everything's a corporation. So they just make up these new corporate rules as they go, and they don't have to, you know, apply to them at all. They're like, hey, we made these rules, but we're just going to do what we want anyway. And here we are. It's the end of the age, and this is what we're expecting. And I think part of it is to do exactly that, is to get everybody just getting so outraged, getting confused. Hey, you said this. This is the way it's supposed to be, but you're doing that. And here we are, going back and forth. In the meanwhile, they're over there doing something else nefarious. Yeah. But we're over here bickering about this, and it's by design.
Well, you know, you just actually kind of led me into this next one here. This is Hamas. They're running for their life. No doubt about that. Israel is down in them tunnels now, and they're tracking them. They're doing everything that they can. They're taking them out pretty good. Okay. But anyway, there was a Hamas document found. And what it says is put pressure on Gallant and blame Netanyahu. That's how it starts. Okay. So now again, this is found in those tunnels. Okay. This document was found in the tunnels. The IDF forces who entered an area where Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar, I hope I mispronounced that, had stayed, found a document with instructions on exerting pressure on Israel. The first paragraph of the document reads, "Distribute pictures and videos of the hostages due to the psychological pressure they create." Mm. Now, the defense minister, Yoav Gallant, was singled out in the document with instructions saying, "Do everything possible to increase psychological pressure on Gallant." The document also instructs, keep spreading the message that Netanyahu is responsible for what has happened and damage the Israeli narrative that claims that the ground offensive helped secure the return of hostages. Now, that's pretty clear. That is a directive being given, and guess who's buying it? The United States of America, France, the United Kingdom and every other country on earth because they want to believe them. That's my opinion.
Yep. It's like everything else. They'll want to believe the Antichrist. They want to believe this. And it just doesn't work. Yeah. We're at the end, folks. Jesus is coming any day. So
Absolutely. Okay. Now, one reason that things may be going a little bit faster now is something to do with the fact that the IDF is close to defeating Hamas in Khan Yunis. And I will read this one here in just a second, but what I want to do first is just play this. This is a spotlight. And this, of course, is on Iran. And this is, over this past weekend, Iran actually, one of their drones actually fired on a U.S. position and killed three of our military personnel and wounded a bunch. So just listen to this report real quick.
With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks with more today on the Iran-backed drone strike that killed three American service personnel in Jordan over the weekend and President Biden's likely response. The attack dramatically ups the ante in the ongoing proxy tussle over the crisis in the Middle East that is underway between the US and Tehran. Shashank Joshi is defense editor of The Economist. He says the weekend events run the risk of contributing to a spiral of violence across the Middle East that has developed since the deadly Hamas assault on Israel on October the 7th and Israel's deadly reprisals on Gaza.
Effectively, Iran got lucky, or Iran's proxies got lucky, and this one got through. It's killed three Americans. It's injured probably roughly 34 others, many of whom have traumatic brain injuries and so on. It's not the only such attack. There was a major barrage of missiles against Al-Assad air base in western Iraq about 10 days ago. But this is the first one with fatalities. And the bottom line is America's going to have to respond with force. It's inevitable. The only question is how far they go in balancing the need to deter Iran with the need to also avoid a spiral of violence that could make this situation even worse.
Other experts say the killings in Jordan amount to a nightmare for President Biden, given that any U.S. response will provide Tehran with fresh grounds for launching additional attacks on U.S. and Israeli targets. With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks.
Why would responding mean that we should expect additional attacks? If we responded correctly, they wouldn't want to attack us again.
Hmm. The way we used to, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, if it was me, and I know I'm way too hardline. Okay, I know that. I recognize that. Now, all you guys, don't worry. I'll never run for office. Okay, I'll never run for office because this is exactly what I would do. I would immediately send planes over Iran. If they shot one down, we'd blow the heck out of them during the process. But I would drop leaflets. Okay, I'd say, look, you have got exactly 1 week to get out of here because, and after that 1 week, we're going to nuke you, and we're going to send you back into the Stone Age. And then I'm going to fulfill that promise. I promise you I'm not going to change my mind. There's no reason to beg. There's no reason to say anything. It's going to happen. So get out or die. That would be it. That's how I'd handle it.
Yep. And they would run
like
they knew.
Like a deer. Yeah, they would. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, like I said, I've got this report. This is about the IDF, again, and going into those tunnels. And they said that they're actually sending full platoons into the Hamas tunnels. And wow. The thing is the IDF is close to defeating Hamas in Khan Yunis, with some estimates that the terror group's ability to fight as an effective collective force could be broken within weeks or less. As matters stand, close to three of the four Khan Yunis battalions, all four originally making up 4,500 fighters, are already nearly beaten. Of the 45,000 or 4,500 original Hamas fighters, 2,700 have been killed, over 1,000 in close combat, and over 1,700 by tank, artillery, and aerial attacks. These new tactics helped the IDF's 98th Division raid an underground tunnel located under the, guess what, Bani Shahila Cemetery. So, yeah, that's a good place for it to happen, I guess. So anyway, what do you think of that, David? It looks like Israel is beating them down. I think that's the reason that they're trying to do deals right now. What do you think?
Oh yeah, they're hurting and they're doing deals. And what's remarkable to me is that Israel is taking so long, which tells, you know, because they could have destroyed them in 3 days if they wanted.
They're taking their time.
Because they want to make sure that they don't hurt the civilians and the children. Okay, absolutely. And they want to be in there and say, hey, we're going to do this right. We're just going after the militants here. Mm-hmm. And that's what they've always done. And they're taking their time to walk in instead of just saying, oops, I dropped bombs over your entire place.
Right.
We'll be back next week to clean up and take over.
Called carpet bombing in the United States has taken place, has done that in the past, by the way. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, before we get out of the first half of the show here, I want to put this up on screen real quick. And David, tell people about this real quick, if you don't mind.
Well, this is going to be a whole lot of fun. We have some interviews set up already with a number of these speakers and some other podcasts that are coming in. We're going to do shows with them. This is hearthewatchmen.com, hearthewatchmen.com, and coming up April 5th through the 8th of 2024. Not only are we going to look at prophetic signs in the heavenlies, but as soon as that's over, the eclipse is going to happen, which puts a big X right through the United States from the one exactly 7 years ago. So we're going to stay there and watch it and see if the Lord actually returns on that day. That should be fun. Mm-hmm. So you gotta get out there. Right now, we have a special going on. This is, we're right here at the end of January of 24. If you hurry up before the middle of February, you can use the term, the code Last Christian. That's Last Christian, one word, in there, and you can get $10 off of the live stream. Normally it's $49, but you can get it for a limited time for $39. That's 20% off. Again, go to hearthewatchmen.com, hearthewatchmen.com. Put in the code LASTCHRISTIAN to get your discount. You can use that live stream for all eternity.
Amen.
Isn't that exciting?
That is exciting. I'm looking forward to it. I'm already putting a bunch of promotional stuff together. Not promo to sell you. I want to make that clear. But stuff that I can give away. And then, of course, you have the opportunity to meet David and I there as well. We look forward to hopefully seeing a bunch of you. Take advantage of it, please. It not only does it help the conference, it also helps us. You know, we want to get the message out as much as we can, and that's the goal, is to lead people to Christ. So please, we'll be reminding you about this constantly for a while, because we would definitely want as many people to come as humanly possible. It's 3 days, and it's going to be a great conference. We will be back with the second half of The Last Christian right after a very short break. Hang in there with us. We'll be back.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Julia Chapman. Former Pakistani Prime Minister Imran Khan has been sentenced to 10 years in jail in a case related to allegations that he leaked state secrets. Khan is already serving a 3-year jail sentence in a corruption case. He's denied all accusations and claims he's being targeted by the government to keep him out of next week's elections. Hira Mustafa reports from Islamabad.
The special court set up inside jail says it found Imran Khan guilty of misplacing the diplomatic cable. Imran Khan's party has called the verdict pre-election rigging. The verdict comes with just over a week to go for before the February 8 general elections in Pakistan. Imran Khan, who's already serving a 3-year jail term in a corruption case, has denied any wrongdoing. Khan's party is urging voters to come out in big numbers next week to protest his sentencing. The former cricketer is barred from contesting elections and has been in jail since August last year, state crackdown on the party. Hira Mustafa, Islamabad.
Hamas has vowed to respond after the Israeli military killed 3 Palestinian men in the West Bank, accusing them of plotting an imminent terror attack. Dramatic security footage appears to show a special forces team disguised as doctors and civilians entering a hospital before killing the trio. Sarah Coates has more from Tel Aviv.
Sources from inside Ibn Sina Hospital in Jenin say the undercover Israeli team entered the facility at around 5:30 a.m. local time, going room to room, before shooting dead 3 young Palestinian men who were asleep in their beds. According to the IDF, the men, 2 brothers and another person, were part of an armed Hamas group and were plotting an attack on Israelis similar to that of October 7. Hamas responding, saying the Israeli army's crimes will not go unanswered. Sarah Coates, Tel Aviv.
European Union member states have agreed to use billions of euros worth of profits from frozen Russian assets to rebuild Ukraine after the war. Ishan Gerg has more from Brussels.
EU officials estimate 15 to 17 billion euros could be generated from frozen Russian assets for Ukraine, though the member states have not decided on a mechanism for the funds to be utilized or on a plan to deploy it. They have agreed to use the proceeds as part of their efforts to support Kyiv. More than 190 billion euros worth of Russian assets are held in Europe. EU officials are considering absorbing windfall profits from Russian assets into a separate budget for Ukraine. Analysts say simply passing the assets off to Kyiv would be legally complicated and risky. To help Ukraine's war efforts, the EU is also working on passing a 50 billion euro package to mark the second anniversary of the Russian aggression. Ishan Kirk, Brussels.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
And welcome back to Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams, and joining me from New York is Mr. David Paxton. David, I want to get into this. Now, you said you weren't afraid of AI, or you weren't, you know, it didn't bother you. Well, it bothers me. It scares me. I don't like it. When I first heard about it, I said, you know, that sounds kind of weird, you know. And that was probably a year ago, maybe a little bit more than a year ago. And I said, I don't know enough about it to even comment on it. But, I, you know, it worries me. And since then, I have tried to learn a little bit. And like, I've got an iPhone. I don't know what kind of phone you have, but anyway, I got an iPhone. And the thing keeps asking me if I want to do something AI. And I said, no, I don't. It scares me. I don't want to touch anything AI. Then I did an internet search using Bing and hit a link. And AI talked to me. It was typing stuff across there. You know, and I got out of that real quick. I said, oh, crap. I hope I haven't contaminated my computer. You know, I mean, that's how much it scares me. That's how much it bothers me. But anyway,
you're telling me. What are you afraid of? The Bible tells you to be anxious for nothing.
Well, yeah, that's true. I got to have more faith is what you're telling me. And you are correct, sir. Yeah. I should.
You know what it is they're hyping it up. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, I remember that.
What? So then you got to ask yourself, okay, they're evil. What's the reason for them hyping it up?
Yeah.
Because they want you to believe it's so much more powerful than it is, because they're going to use it to bring the Antichrist in.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And it, you know,
so they want you to believe he's powerful.
That's the part right there that you were just talking about, the Antichrist. That's what worries me. Now, it's not for us. I mean, we're not going to be here. You know, I don't have to worry about an Antichrist. I'm not even going to know who it was. You know, I mean, we'll get raptured, whether it's bang or whether it's slowly up. I don't know. We'll get into that. I'm looking forward to that show. I'm looking forward to that show because we're going to have that one of these days. I promise you.
I wonder if you can take selfies on the way up. Like, hey,
I don't think an incorruptible body is capable of handling it, but who knows? We'll see.
Okay. We'll see.
Anyway. This came out the other day, or the reason for this show today is because of this stuff that I just got. The guy's name is Anthony Lewandowski. It's spelled Lewandowski. Started to put his picture on here because he looks like he's just a young kid, but I didn't put it up. But when you think about it, most new technology is made by kids. You know, and by kids, I'm 65 years old. I consider anybody under 30 a kid. Okay. But anyway.
I didn't even get started until he was 65.
But this says that the way of the future was launched in 2015, but it was shut down in 2021. And what I'm talking about there is the AI church. The AI church. You can find it online. I have the web address. I'm not going to give it to you. I'm just not, okay, because I don't want anybody going to this stupid thing. But it says the way of the future was launched in 2015 but shut down in 2021. Why? Probably because there wasn't enough interest yet. So this guy has
COVID.
Possibly. This guy, he's an entrepreneur known for his work in developing autonomous vehicle technology. And he's brought back the artificial intelligence church, which he conceptualized. I hate these big words. He conceptualized and launched it in 2015. It was shut down for a couple of years into its inception. Now, it says when it originally began its operation in 2015, it didn't operate like a traditional church in the sense that it didn't have a brick-and-mortar place of worship or routine gatherings of its followers. But now, Lewandowski says that the church already has a congregation consisting of a couple of thousand people, and that is per a Bloomberg report. Now, he calls this the Way of the Future Church. That's WOTF. And I can tell you there's been a couple of Christians that have commented on this WOTF thing and says he needs to leave out the O and that would fit it better. Okay. But anyway, the call the Way of the Future, WOTF, the church aimed at championing the ethical evolution of AI, fostering an environment where these artificial entities could merge together with society. The return of the church comes at an opportune time when the buzz around artificial intelligence has magnified over the last year with the advent of ChatGPT. Mm-hmm. Now, AI and religion are disparate concepts, according to this. But it's not like people haven't tried. Oh, boy, there's another one. I'll just love these big words. But it's not like people haven't tried to amalgamate the two.
Mm-hmm.
In June this year, a service was given by ChatGPT at the St. Paul Church in Germany. The service included 40 minutes of prayers, music, and sermons in front of a congregation of 300 people. The quote here is, for the last 4 billion years, we've had organic life forms. But now, for the first time, things are changing, and we're going to have inorganic life forms. This according to this Lewandowski. He said, when we don't know what these inorganic life forms are going to be, but we're going to fuse it with all these magical powers, and we want it to give us things. Lewandowski believes that AI can bring heaven on earth. He says, here, we're actually creating things they can see, be everywhere, and maybe help us and guide us in a way normally you would call God. In 2017, WOTF said that its activities would focus on the realization, acceptance, and worship of a Godhead based on artificial intelligence, AI, developed through computer hardware and software. What's your comment on that?
Well, isn't that fun? Well, let's see how that works out in front of the throne of God.
Yeah. So. I wouldn't want to be Lewandowski or whatever his name is. Yeah. Now.
Well, here's the thing. With, you know, this is exactly what the Bible says. They will think themselves as God, mm-hmm. you know, and here we are. Oh, yeah, you're going to create this thing and it's going to be God. Clearly, you don't understand how God works. you know, he's eternal. He is outside of his entire space-time continuum as it is. And he's looking down at this tiny little speck in his eye that's called the universe. Mm-hmm. And then a speck of that, here's this guy that was born, you know, not even 100 years ago, and he's going to tell him how to run the universe. And he's like, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, this guy.
Yeah, watch this.
Again, I didn't put his picture up. I should have, I guess. But, you know, I don't think he's if he was born earlier than the 1990s, I'd be shocked. I mean, you know, just by his picture. As a matter of fact, he may be a millennial kid. I don't know. I mean, you know, the picture looked pretty young to me. But anyway, it was that kind of stuff, David, that got me going on this, that had me worrying about it to the point that, you know, if they can do stuff like with Biden and Trump, like the picture that I showed earlier, I'll put it back up here one more time.
Mm-hmm.
If they can do stuff like that, then, you know, a lot of people will buy this crap. You know, they'll.
Well, I think so. I mean, but I've done the photo graphics. I mean, I could look at that and it, in an instant tell you that it's just AI. It's not
yeah,
real.
Well, some people can, but you know, I'm going to say that the majority can't. Yeah, I mean,
and that's
maybe
what
I'm
it
wrong.
Is. The majority of the world will follow the Antichrist. Yeah. You know, the road is narrow, right?
Right, right. And, you know, I've had even relatives of mine, you know, give percentages of how many Christians there are, how many are in this denomination, that denomination, who believes this, who believes that. And I say, I don't care. I just don't care about that at all, because there's only one denomination in heaven, and that's the believers in Jesus Christ. That's it. You know,
that's
and,
right.
You know, I used to get on, there was a, something on Facebook. There was a group or something. And there was a guy that kept popping in there all the time about, oh, well, you know, Jesus has got to be black, you know, and here's my reason why that, and, you know, and so.
Yeah, they're still around.
Look, all I did, the only thing I said is, look, you know, you don't need to worry about what Jesus looked like. You need to worry about what he said and how he acted. What you're doing is you're trying to actually cause a division between white, black, Hispanic, Oriental, all that. Why bother? Why do that? It's the message.
I mean, it's just as bad as the pictures they have of them today.
Right.
You know, you'd
right.
say how bad that is. Well, just, that's just as bad in the other direction. Because clearly he was an Israelite.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and I've looked at pictures of people in that area, and you know, come to your own conclusions. All I can tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
now,
it was a joke.
Now then, that one report wouldn't have done it, David. That wouldn't have caused me to create a whole show about artificial intelligence. It wouldn't have done it.
Mm-hmm.
This one did. Okay.
This well, one supposed to be a good one.
Yeah. This one. Have you ever heard of CNET? CNET.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this was actually put together by them. Okay, they're the ones that did this. So I reached out to them, made sure I could use it, and then here we go. All right. So now I don't have the guy's name that did this. But anyway, he says this. I've been praying that more would come to light ever since the existence of a God-bot religion called Way of the Future was revealed this fall. At the time, Wired's Mark Harris said he'd seen state filings from California that revealed a religion with AI as its god. Charmingly, he said it was founded by Anthony Lewandowski, the former, carefully read this one, the former Google, Waymo, and Uber engineer, now embroiled in a lawsuit brought by Alphabet-owned Waymo against Uber. He's accused of stealing self-driving car secrets and exposing them to Uber, which has denied any wrongdoing. Now Harris has actually chatted with Lewandowski, who calmly explained the religion's origins. Okay, so now listen to this. What's going on? What's going to be created will effectively be a god. It's not a god in the sense that it makes lightning or causes hurricanes, but if there is something a billion times smarter than the smartest human, what else are you going to call it? But if it's so clever, why can't it make lightning or cause her hurricane? It just takes a little...
Or figure out which boxes have bicycles.
Yeah, it just takes a little global warming, surely. That's the comment, of course, of the people that are writing this stuff. Anyway, it says, here's the first line. Way of the Future is about creating a peaceful and respectful transition of who is in charge of the planet from people to people plus machines. That's people plus machines. People with a plus. Okay. In other words.
People and machines.
To get combined is a point that he's trying to make here. Let's see. Given that technology will relatively soon be able to surpass human abilities, we want to help educate people about this exciting future and prepare for a smooth transition. Relatively soon? The Google's director of engineering, Ray Kurzweil, believes humans will be robot hybrids by 2030. It's that relatively soon. It feels disturbingly soon to this guy writing this thing. With every sentence, Lewandowski's church makes Scientology seem more like a mere brotherhood of humanity. Hark at this. We should think about how machines will integrate into society and even have a path for becoming in charge as they become smarter and smarter, so that this whole process can be amicable and not confrontational. Is this crazy or what?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you know, Commander Data, right?
So, I mean, he's talking about this happening by 2030, that we're not human, but we're human.
What they do.
We're $6 million.
What did Al Gore say? You know,
by
2020, then all the icebergs will be gone.
Yeah. Here's another quote from this guy. He says, "We don't think that there are ways to actually stop this from happening, nor should we want to. And that this feeling of we must stop this is rooted in 21st century. Oh boy. I'm not even going to try that word. It's too big. Anyway, similar to humans thinking the sun rotated around the earth in the not so distant past. That's what he says here. We'd just like to make sure that it's not seen as silly or scary.
So, they're trying to make it palatable for everybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, he wraps it up here and said, "We believe it may be important for machines to see who is friendly to their cause and who is not. We plan on doing so by keeping track of who has done what and for how long to help the peaceful and respectful transition.
Yep.
The rise of the authoritarian."
You see that wording in there?
Yeah.
We're going to keep a record to see who is being nice and letting this AI in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just the first degree of they're trying to take over. Now, we all know that Jesus Christ is coming back, at the very point where they do that, and then the whole world's going to gather and prepare for battle in Harmageddon. So, and we know what's going to happen there. There's lots of blood and mess. And matter of fact, I don't know if you know this, but all of a sudden in the last few years, all these birds of prey are starting to increase tremendously over in Israel.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's pretty cool. That's just another reason why we're getting closer. Hey, do you remember back in the 70s and the 80s, they told us by the mid-90s the Earth was going to freeze over because the next ice age was coming?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well.
Yeah, and, that was fun, right?
First it was everything was going to melt. Remember, it was the all the ice caps were going to melt and all that. And then
it was an ice age back then. Yeah. Everything was going to freeze over, and even Florida is going to freeze and all that stuff. And then that wasn't working, so they moved to global warming.
Well, you know, if Gore had been right, David, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. You'd be underwater, right?
Yeah, we'd be. Everybody. In the meantime, he bought some oceanfront property at the same time. He's like, I thought you thought it was melting. Whatever.
But you know, basically, what we're trying to get across to people here is that there is all this stuff going on, and you can, if you look at the Bible and you start comparing the current events to what's going on, and read the Bible, reference it, you're going to see that everything is coming together to the point that the world is ready for somebody to lead them. Right now, I'm thinking Putin is a pretty strong leader in Russia. I think his people over there, they view him as strong and as somebody that could hurt them if they go against him. I think that's pretty clear. Same thing with the Chinese guy, Xi.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with, to a lesser degree, but the same thing with Kim in North Korea and the Ayatollah in Iran. Have I named anybody good yet?
No, they wouldn't be in there if they were good, actually, because then they'd take them out.
That's my point. And the remainder of the world, I don't care if it's the United States, if it's England, if it's Australia, Germany, whatever. They've all got weak leadership, right? I mean, every single one of them. And the countries that they are in charge of, whether it's President Biden here or whoever the president of Mexico is, I mean, they're afraid to move because the big guys, the ones that actually have their citizens behind them, are on the other team. And they don't want to make them mad because they're incapable of making a decision on their own. I mean, that's my opinion now, but, Do you see where I'm going with this? It's just like the world is ready. The world is ready for somebody to come in and say, I'm in charge.
Yep. They got to, they're instilling. That's why they go into all little details. You know where Soros's money is all everywhere. Right. You know that he stole it from us and then he puts it everywhere because it's all those little pieces he gets, you know, and then installs the weak ones little by little, just taking over so they can install the Antichrist when he comes.
Yeah, well, he learned that from Adolf Hitler. I mean, he really did. And you know, anybody that wants to call me on that, I would simply say look it up, because George Soros is a Jew, and he actually made a deal with the Nazis during World War II to where he stayed alive by turning over Jews to the Nazis. He worked directly with the Nazis. He learned all these tricks from the Nazis. Propaganda and the whole bit. He learned it. And he learned it well. And he installed himself as somebody that I'm going to be in charge of as much as I can be in charge of and make as much money as I can, and I don't care who dies. And I mean, that's really George Soros, is it not?
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's his. He's complete with his space outfit and everything.
Yeah. And you know,
Did you see the pictures of him where like wearing this really weird bikini thing on looking like a girl?
I've only seen his ugly face, honestly. Yeah. The only picture
I've
ever
seen.
That,
trust me. It's like,
I've only seen his face, and he looks evil. I mean, you know, that's personal opinion, obviously, but he just looks evil. And
just do that.
George Soros is pretty much
is coming.
Yeah, George Soros is pretty much no more. His son is taking over for him now, and from what I understand, he's even worse. You know, so I don't expect any breakthroughs coming with that. Now we've got roughly 7 minutes left, and we've pretty much covered artificial intelligence. Do you feel the same way that you did when we started the show, that this isn't anything to worry about, or are you beginning to see where I'm coming from?
I guess it depends on whether you're saved or not.
Right, yeah.
And the Lord clearly tells us to be anxious for nothing. He says, just be joyful and great. And when you see these things start to happen, rejoice. You know, your redemption draws near.
Yeah. I guess
literally what I do every day. Oh, that's crazy. Excellent.
Yeah, I mean, I've made this clear. I don't fear death. I don't fear anything could happen, and I'm good at, you know, because I know if I die here, I'm very much alive and in better shape in heaven instantly. So I'm not, you know, I'm not worried about that for me, but I am worried about a lot of the stuff that goes on with AI for other people. Because as this develops and as this goes forward, it's going to become more and more required that you do this and you do that. And, you know, you got to follow the plan. How many cameras do you remember on houses, buildings, whatever, in the 1970s?
Yeah, there weren't really. They didn't have it then. You had to get a big old box and you had to set it up on purpose to go record something.
Yeah.
There was no surveillance cameras anywhere.
Now I got cameras on my house that are pointed in every direction. And everybody else does too. You can set your temperature while you're on the road somewhere. AI in some form or another has been around for a while. It's just now developing into something that I don't particularly like. I see where this is going, and I'm afraid that it's going to make it harder for people to accept Jesus Christ because it's easier for them to avoid it.
Ironically, in that sense, let's start with this. You don't need to be afraid of anything. Okay. He did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind.
Amen.
That means basically you're going to look at this and you're going to know that this is the work of the Lord. Remember, it can't happen unless he allows it to happen.
Right.
And he allows it to happen for a reason, to bring judgment.
Right.
But this, anytime in all of history, the more persecution there was, the greater the church grew.
Amen.
More people got saved.
Yeah. And that's so present right now in Iran and in China, some of the fastest growing churches. North Korea, same thing. You know, every time the world tries to block God out, it backfires every single time throughout history.
Because everybody knows.
Yeah.
Everybody knows. So in one sense, we don't want people to suffer and we don't want them to be deceived and all that. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is, JD, it's only because they want to. God says he gave them over to their own lusts.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So if they're doing it, it's not because they were tricked into it. It's because that's what they want to do.
What they want. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. An acceptance.
So,
I got you.
You folks out there, if you're doing this, because I presented, I mean, I love to get on Facebook and just tweak people when they're speaking nonsense, you know, especially like atheists and all this other stuff. If you tweak them, you'll find out what they're really made of.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
And without fail, they say, oh, you don't have proof of God. Well, I said, actually, I do. If you are interested, I would be happy to sit down and show you. I can share some of the videos I've made, and I can share a ton of information that would demonstrate unequivocally that there is a creator, mm-hmm. and this is who he is. Oh no, I'm not watching that. I've seen everything already.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, you're not really looking, are you?
Yeah, no, they're not. Yeah. All they're doing, you know, and I get that a lot too. You know, people say, "Well, I don't believe what you believe." I have had people say, "I just don't believe what you believe." Okay, well, you know, that's your choice. I can't make you be saved. I got no control. I don't hold the keys to heaven. Okay, I don't. I don't have any control over that whatsoever. All I can do is tell you that just like there's a last play in every football game, that there is going to be that last individual to accept Jesus Christ before the rapture of the church. And when that rapture occurs, if you're not on board, if you're not up there with me and David and every other Christian living and dead that accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you're going to hell. End of story. Okay? But you can make sure and know that you're going to heaven. And the way that you do that is by simply saying a prayer in your own words. Okay? All you got to do is say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I know Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. I know he spent 3 days in the tomb. I know he rose again on the third day. I know he sits at the right hand of God. I know the rapture is going to happen and all Christians living and dead are going to join him in the air. And I want to be one of those. And so I promise you, I will follow you all the remaining days of my life. And I ask you, please, for your salvation. In the glorious name of Jesus Christ, amen. And if you will do something like that and you are that person we're looking for, then you just might be the last Christian, and the next faces you see might be Jesus Christ, along with me and David and every other Christian. David, we only got a minute left. I wanted you to remind everybody again about the conference and how to get a little bit off of it as well.
All righty. So remember, that is hearthewatchmen.com, hearthewatchmen.com. You go there, you can see the conference that's coming up. We're going to be speaking about prophetic signs in the heavenlies. That is April 5th through the 8th of 2024. So if it's after that and you're watching this, you missed it. But if it's before that, we have a discount code for people that can get $10 off. You put the code in Last Christian, one word, Last Christian, you'll get $10 off. As of this moment, it's normally $49 for the online fee. Now, that's going to go up February 15th, but you can still get $10 off if you use that, so it'll only be $39, and then you'll be able to get all of those to download. You can also attend the conference. That's going to be amazing. Right now, that is an ultra special price of $35, so hurry up and get there. Hearthewatchmen.com.
And until next time, everybody, good night and God bless.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net until the trumpet sounds.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people.
It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.